Maybe my home's on the road. The road's the only place I feel home. I don't know if I'm ever gonna get back again this way. The road's the only place I feel home. Feel at home. Hello. Listening to the My Home is on the Road show. My name is Dave Manning. This is the show that comes to you from the back of a Volkswagen microbus. This week it's parked down by Oak Creek outside Sedona, Arizona. And I make my living playing the blues up and down the West Coast in bars and casinos and coffee shops, wherever it will pay the bills. And the bus in question, his name is Vincent. He's a 1965 Volkswagen microbus. So that's me in a nutshell. I travel up and down the West Coast playing music, living in the tour bus. And the show, of course, is about some of the adventures I have on the road, and also about other musicians I meet in my travels. And for this particular show, we're going to go up to an interview I recorded in Anchorage, Alaska this past spring with Nick the Dream Weaver. Yes, that is his name. And we sat down in a diner and had some eggs over easy, some coffee, and did a little interview about the creative process.
Gonna go to the island, climb a coconut tree, 'cause my local grocer got no coconuts for me.
Now, everybody, including Nick, knows he's not going to be the next Britney Spears, the next Bob Dylan. Did I just use those two artists in the same sentence? If you're playing a drinking game at home, drink now. He's clearly not going to be the next big thing, but he's a guy that's he's a bus driver, and he likes to play music. And so he's a great person to talk to about the creative process and how somebody can get started playing music that's never done it before and learn to really enjoy it. So here we go with our conversation in a diner with Nick the Dream Weaver, the bus driver for the University of Alaska, Anchorage.
Dry off lying in the sand, and that brown skinned lady, she'll be holding my hand in the tropical moonlight. We'll be making love.
So they were only like a dozen people there, maybe, and I knew the majority of them. I was nervous as heck, and I was just, I played like three songs and I was dripping sweat, you know, I mean, that's just, and I just decided at that point I was going to get over it, you know, I had to get over it, I had to get through it, and so, because they had the stage and they had the sound system, I just asked them if I could come in randomly and play music, you know, stand up on stage and play music. And they ended up giving me my own night eventually, and I did that until they closed. And then the Hierophant opened up, and they needed an open mic host. So I went over there, and then I got traded for tea. The Sleeping Lady Tea Shop, and that's where you and I met, and that's, you know, that's how that all progressed. It was like,
I mean, if you were going to give somebody else advice that was just starting to play music, and they were at that point where, like, they kind of know how to play their instrument, they maybe they know what to sing, but they're afraid, they get really scared when they play in front of other people, would you tell them, like, that's the method? Like, just,
yeah, just play it, just do it. That's what I would definitely tell them. In fact, this is the fun part about the playing over there at the Sleeping Lady when I hosted that open mic. Because there were a lot of people that came in there like that who were nervous. You know, I'd never played in public before. And I heard so many people tell me over time that I was so encouraging to them. You know, to just, you know, keep doing it, just keep coming back, keep playing. And I think partially, if it wouldn't have been for me encouraging her, Nicole never would have sang on Mike's CD.
Yeah. Hopefully, I might see them this summer.
Yeah. So, and then the last time I was down there and saw him, which was 2005, she had picked up a guitar and was playing a lot more and played me some of her stuff that she'd been playing. And what's so cool is to watch somebody blossom into their own style. And her style is different from Mike's. And so, like, what she does is different, and what he does is different, but when they get together on something, it's beautiful. It's just, it's amazing to watch that. At least I think. I get really excited about this stuff. Creativity, man. It's the creative flow. I mean, I don't know. You know, it's like, don't stop it. Just let it keep going. Let it drive you. Let it take you wherever it's going to go. Don't try to control it. Just let it flow.
All right, so right now we're going to shift over and hear one of the songs from Mike Dunn. This is off of his first CD called Grassroots, and this is one of the songs on the CD that Nicole, who Nick was talking about, who's very shy about singing, one of the tracks that she sings with him on.
Shut up and stop your complaining, 'cause you're giving me a headache and I'm almost out of gin. I couldn't sleep with you if you're a $3 whore, 'cause I paid a whole lot less and got a whole lot more.
Henry, better learn from your mistakes. Next time I throw a party, you'd better do what it takes to make sure my guests are all satisfied. Dear Henry, I will have to say, go get up off your bottom and get it out of here. Pack up all your clothing on your Grand John Deere.
stained underwear. You're still stained underwear.
What? What keeps you going? Like, when... Because, in a way, like, we're all going to die. And, like, our songs may or may not... You know, they might just get stuffed in a shoebox somewhere. And,
oh, yeah.
And eventually, like, they'll end up in a landfill or something. And they'll be into that. But see, so why bother doing it?
I actually ask myself that sometimes. But the funny thing is that what has happened as a result of... Like, starting back in 1997 with that open mic and then just keeping on playing and keeping on playing. I haven't made an open mic now for a little over... Well, okay, I've made a few, but not as many as I'd like to in a little over a year. And I think I've become addicted to playing public. I'm jonesing to get out there and play in public. I am just, it's driving me crazy.
I've seen London and I've been to France, but I've never seen you in those underpants. Oh, baby, it's driving me crazy. I want your body, so let's get naughty. I like the way you shake, I like the way you move, I like the way you make me want to groove, groove, groove. I can't stand it, I'm like a one-armed bandit. You keep hitting my jackpot and getting a payoff. So good, you look so fine. The way you shake it just blows my mind. Give me some, baby. I'm going so crazy. You know I can't take it. The way that you shake it, baby, 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 baby. I'm going so crazy. Give me your body.
Oh, the Anchorage Folk Festival this year. You were there.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I loved it. It was my best performance ever.
Really?
Lasted 12 minutes long. It was the best. Oh, God, man. The response from the audience, the clapping, and the number of people that were still out there. It was just like, yeah. I was so jazzed after I got done. I was so jazzed. And I was nearly accosted by three belly dancers when I was getting off stage. They thought that last song that I did was just absolutely beautiful and wanted to know if I wrote it. It's like I couldn't get past it.
I've never been accosted by belly dancers. It's on my bucket list.
It was good.
It's hard to set up, you know. Without spending a lot of money.
One of them even tracked me down the next day because she wanted me to sign my CD. She bought my CD.
Yeah.
And she wanted me to sign it. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, wow, cool.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. You get a number?
No.
You gotta work that. Especially if they have your CD, man, I'm telling you. Because once they listen to your CD a few times, they feel like they already know you.
Oh, okay.
And the good part of you, too, the part you edited. You're in like Flynn after that. Oh, trust me.
I think I'm still kind of getting over the fire.
Oh, yeah. Talk about that. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or even home.
I was at work, and a friend of mine called me. It was kind of late at night. It was about 10 to 7. And I was supposed to be getting off in 10 minutes anyhow, and this friend called me and said, "Nick, has anybody called you?" And I'm like, "No." And she said, "Your place is on fire." And I said, "What?" And the name of the building is Moosehorn. And she said, "Moosehorn, it's on fire." I'm like, "Oh, shit." And I called my boss, told him that I had to go check it out. And he gave me the best advice of the world. Because I was here in town, and I had to drive 15 miles, something like that, to get to my house. And what he said was, don't drive like a maniac, don't speed, take your time, because it's already gone. You can't do it. And I was hoping he was wrong. I took his advice, though, and I did take my time getting out there. At least I think I did, from what I remember. And I got out there, and the whole upper part of the building, this two-story building, was mostly gone. There were a few walls standing, but it was totally blazing. And the apartments on either side of my apartment, where the doors were, you know, already burned up, and they were just completely on fire inside. My apartment at that point hadn't been touched. You couldn't get close. It was too hot. And I got there in time to watch it go. And that sucked. That really sucked. You know, of course, I don't think it would have been any better if I got out there and it was blazing. But what really bummed me out was, like, everybody was home when it started. So everybody managed to get something out. And my neighbors wanted to go into my place and pull out some stuff for me, but the fire department wouldn't let them. Within 5 feet of my front door were two guitars and every song I'd ever written. Within 5 feet of the front door. It's like, ah! Oh. But, it actually, in a lot of ways, it turned out all right, you know. I missed the songs. Some of them, here's the funny part, some of them probably really did need to be burned.
That was a problem. You accumulated too many that needed to be burned.
Because, yeah, there were a few in there that, you know, I wasn't really satisfied with. But
yeah, you wound up getting some guitars at least replaced.
Last count that I got, let's see, it was somewhere around 7 or 9 guitars. I lost 4 guitars in the fire.
Yeah, I had a decal.
Oh, decal.
I lost 4 guitars in the fire, and I had. It was either 7 or 9 guitars donated to me.
Yeah. But how was that when you were, you know, that time after the fire, but then people were, you know, friends of yours were...
Oh, God. I mean...
Giving you a guitar here and a guitar there.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people... I work for the university, so people at the university raised money for me. There was one guy, there was a lady at the university, her boyfriend, he's the one who gave me the Sigma 12 string. Another guy at the university, after I'd already gotten like 7 guitars, wanted to give me another guitar, and I'm like, I'm good. I don't really need any more guitars. I had friends who actually got me booked down in Sterling, and friends of theirs, when they heard about the fire, sent me a guitar. So, I mean, it was just like people from all over the place. people, and like with the university, there were people that I barely even knew that were, you know, clothing and food and dishes and, you know, everything. And the university itself let me stay in the student housing until I could find an apartment. So, you know, it was pretty awesome. Pretty cool.
Yeah, that's cool. That's the underground insurance policy, I guess.
Yeah, it was good. The only thing I'm really dissatisfied about right now, musically, is that I'm not playing nearly enough, and I'm not writing nearly enough. I need to get active with this.
Yeah, I think I know who can change that.
All right, we're going to leave the conversation with Nick the Dreamweaver right there. It took place in a diner up in Anchorage, Alaska, over some eggs and coffee. And we're going to wind out today's show with a few more tracks off of Mike Dunn's first CD called Grass Roots. So I'll spin them for you right now.
I pledge allegiance to the flag, United States of America. And you're not out on the God and invisible with liberty just for all. Oh, don't call me an American, which I don't believe in God. And what about my friends who come over to my house for the day? Bring out over some mushrooms and some weed. We have planned the most beautiful day. Just playing in the sunshine, trying to temporarily relieve the hair. Anything that might have went wrong. I called her house and no one was home. Then the telephone rang, the telephone rang. Call me from police don't. What ever happened today? Well, people question the great USA. Was not this nation bound upon the fact that the British government tried to create a social song? Obsessions, clouds on a sunny day, but I leave this place tomorrow if I could find my way. Obsessions, sun on a rainy afternoon, but I leave this place tomorrow if I could see my way. I'm
obsessions. Clouds on a sunny day. But I'd leave this place tomorrow if I could find my way. Obsessions. Sun on a rainy afternoon. But I'd leave this place tomorrow if I could see my way.
That was Mike Dunn there off of his first CD, Grassroots. And if you want to get in touch with Mike and don't have any luck finding him on the net, go ahead and go to davemanning.net, my website. Shoot me an email from there and I'll get you in touch with him. Big thanks to KWMD guy, who I guess got beat up and mugged in an alley last weekend.
I was nearly accosted by three belly dancers.
All right, safe travels and have yourself a fantastic day.